Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Shlokam 23 Gurur Gurutamo Dhamma Satya Satya Parakramaha Nimisho Nimishas Shragvi Vachas Pratirud Ardhihi. These names in this verse, Sri Parashara Bhatta explains as being names of Matsya Deva. Name, the first in this is name 211. Gurur Gurutama, or this may be taken as two names, Guru and Gurutama. Guru is a well-known word, one of those commonly misunderstood words. Gurutama means the best of gurus. And if the two are put together, then Gurutama becomes an adjective to describe guru, and it means that he is the guru who is above all gurus. So guru is a well-known term. The basic meaning of the word, or the common etymological understanding, is heavy. So heavy can be in the literal sense. That's somewhat subjective also. For us, if we see some stone there, we'll think that's heavy because we can't pick it up very easily. For an ant, even a small stone is heavy. So for Krishna, nothing is heavy. But we can say something that is dense. That means if you have one cubic meter of cotton, which is not packed tightly, then you should be able to pick it up. But if it's one cubic meter of granite, I don't know if any human can pick it up. You think so? Maybe. Some very, very muscular human could pick it up. So, stone is heavy. So that's the literal meaning of heavy. And in that sense, Krishna is the heaviest, because everything is Krishna. The weightlifter, he can lift some heavy weight, but he can't lift the whole universe. The whole universe is Krishna. So Krishna's heaviest of all. So he's Guru, and heavy also in the sense of being heavy with knowledge, which means that one is very, that knowledge makes one very grave. In modern education, knowledge doesn't bring any wisdom or gravity, because it's just information about how to manipulate the material world. But that's not even considered. That's not in the Vedic sense of the term considered knowledge. Just some information. But knowledge means to understand who we are, who is God, what is our relationship, what we're doing in this material world, how to get out of this material world. So it's very heavy. The knowledge of the nature of the jiva, conditioned in the material world, being subjected to the suffering of birth, death, old age and disease, is very heavy, portentous. That should impart gravity. Not that we just jump around lightly and say, oh, everything's okay, just have fun, enjoy yourself. Person who is not heavy will say this. Guru will never say this. So Krishna, he is heavy in all respects. He is Guru. Guru, that also means respectable. Someone who is respectable is called a Guru. So who is more respectable than Krishna? Whoever is respectable in this world, they become respectable because of their relationship with Krishna. And someone else, you may say, well, the President of the United States of America is respectable because of his position, but he has no relationship that he knows of or that he's interested in with Krishna. So Vaishnavas, they don't actually consider him very respectable. What to speak of him? Vidhi Mahindra Adishchakki Tayate. For one who's even got a little mercy of the little merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon them, they see even the position of Brahma and Indra as being no more significant than that of an insect. But respectable people, they also, for formality's sake, they are respected by Vaishnavas, because they know that they attain that position by the mercy of Krishna. And directly or indirectly, they're representing Krishna. So they may be offered respect also. But actually, we consider more respectable a neophyte devotee of Krishna than even a great king or big businessman, whoever may be considered respectable. So Krishna is the most respectable. We should respect means, why do we respect someone? Because they have some quality significantly more than we do. So that's Krishna. He has all qualities significantly more than we do. So he should be respected as Guru. Senior. Krishna is the most senior. We're all descended from Krishna. We're all children of God. There's this Christian religion, they say the Son of God, Jesus. But we're all children of God. Why only Jesus? Why, as Prabhupada used to say, Srila Prabhupada used to say, that even an ordinary man can have 10 sons, and some fish and snakes, they may have hundreds of children. Then why did you say God has got only one son? We're all coming from God. We're all His children. So He's senior, elder, and the most common usage of the word guru is teacher. So Krishna, whatever is to be taught is to be learned from Krishna. And He officially takes the role of guru. Well, not in the terms of giving initiation. Generally, people think that the main function of a guru is to give initiation, but that is not the etymological meaning or the dictionary meaning. The meaning is one who teaches. So Krishna is well known as the teacher of Arjuna. He's also the teacher of Uddhava, and through them he teaches everyone. So he's the guru. And the fact that he gives the Vedas means that he is the teacher, means he should teach the Vedas, knowledge in the Vedas, not engineering or speculative psychology or any such thing. So Krishna is the guru, and he's the best of all gurus. Can't be a better guru than Krishna. Or can there be? Well, one who speaks exactly in the same way as Krishna is as good as Krishna in that respect for the disciple. Just like if we hear from Srila Prabhupada, that is as good as for ourselves, it's as good as Arjuna, for it was it's as good as us as it was for Arjuna to hear from Krishna. Means you get the same result. It's the same knowledge. And Krishna, he gives the potency to the guru to teach and to the sincere disciple to understand. Both have to be properly qualified. Srila Prabhupada. Of course, when we say Srila Prabhupada, it's not his example, but we heard it from him. I mean, this example is an ancient example. That if the man is potent and the wife is fertile, then by their combination a child must be produced. So if the guru is bona fide, and that means he teaches proper knowledge and acts according to that, and the disciple is sincere to hear and submissive, then the result of them coming together will be that the disciple will be enlightened in spiritual knowledge, in Krishna consciousness. So this is all possible by the mercy of Krishna. We say by the mercy of Guru, everything is possible. But we should understand that the Guru's mercy means he's taking Krishna's mercy. Sangsara dava nalalita loka tranaya karanya ghana ghana praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vandeguru sri charanarvinda. So Krishna is kalyana gunarnava. He is an ocean of all auspicious and beneficial qualities. So the who is Guru, he showers mercy on the world. How does he do that? He takes knowledge and mercy from Krishna, who is the ocean of all good qualities, and rains that. So the Guru is like a cloud who rains the rain of spiritual knowledge. But that's all coming from Krishna. So at the same time, we have to say it's Guru's mercy, because we're here in Salem, we cannot take water from the ocean. And even if we took it from the ocean, then we'd, of course you can do this saline filtering and then you can get clear water. That's in the modern age you can do in Saudi Arabia and countries like this. They take water from the sea and they desalinate it. But you can try like that. But in the spiritual way, we have to take rain, the rain of mercy, which is it. All the water is, it's all coming from Krishna. So actually, Krishna is Guru, and just as I was explaining previously, some of the names of Krishna, Simha, here in Vishnu Sahasranam, Simha, lion, then Hamsa, swan. Why do we say that? Because Krishna is like a lion, because Krishna is like a swan. No. We call a lion because he gets his lionness from Krishna. And a swan gets the swanness from Krishna. Therefore they're called swan or lion. Not because Krishna is like a lion, because a lion is like Krishna. Therefore he's called a lion. So in the same way, Guru can be a guru because he gets his gurudva, which means importance or heaviness, from Krishna. Krishna is the original guru. That is the qualification to be a guru. All gurus, anyone who wants to take the position of guru, should know Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. We have to offer respect to Krishna, who is the guru of the whole universe. He's the guru of gurus. And even, of course, the Vaishnav Sampradayas, they accept that the origin of their Sampradaya is in the parampara, is Krishna, Narayana. Even the Shankara Sampradaya, they accept that this, because the Vedas come from Narayana. So with their misinterpretation of the Vedas, but they may misinterpret the Vedas, but they accept that the Vedas come from Narayana. Of course, we don't accept Mayavadis as actual gurus, except in the conventional sense of the term. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to Shankara as Acharya. But then he says he's talking imagination. Acharya Kalpitomat, his imaginary opinion. So that's not actually an Acharya. Acharya means he should know the Vedic conclusion. And the Vedic conclusion is Vedaishya Sarva Rahameva Vedaha. Krishna is to be known. Not anything extrinsic to Krishna. There is nothing extrinsic to Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Everything is in Krishna. Just like we have, there are some verses in the Bhagavatam, they have all the different Sanskrit grammatical cases, which shows that everything is in Krishna, everything is of Krishna, everything is from Krishna, everything is to be offered to Krishna. Krishna is the person to be addressed. So everything indicates Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna has his own Krishna-ness. The lion is a lion because he's lion-like like Krishna. The swan is a swan because he's swan-like like Krishna. But still, Krishna has his... That doesn't mean the lion is Krishna. Doesn't mean the swan is Krishna. Just, yeah, they have some outstanding qualities which are representative of certain qualities of Krishna. So in the same way, Guru is not Krishna. But he has some quality by which he represents Krishna. So it's important that to understand all these names of Krishna, to understand all the different qualities, and we can see them by Krishna's mercy reflected in different persons, different objects, different living beings. We should know that although a swan may have the swan-like quality of the Supreme Lord, although a guru may have the guru-like quality of the Supreme Lord, although a lion may have the lion-like quality of the Supreme Lord, all the qualities in one place only reside in Krishna. Therefore, he's called Kalyana Gunarnava, the ocean of all auspicious qualities. So, yeah, all gurus must know that Krishna is the guru, and that their being a guru depends or derives from representing Krishna and teaching others that Krishna is to be worshipped. That's how one is a guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Jai Krishna Tatta Beta Shai Guru Hoy. That means that who is a guru? Does it mean you have to get appointed or then you become a guru? Someone, okay, you can be a guru. Or then you initiate someone, then you become a guru. But it's not like that. By being a Vaishnav, Vaishnava Svapacha Guruhu, whatever your external situation may be, you're automatically a guru. It's just like all women are to be addressed as mother, even if they're 5 years old. And then how can they be a mother? It means they have the mother potential, is there. They may or may not have a child, but they are mother. And mother potential and mother mentality that comes automatically with the female body. Unless they're trained in the modern age. They go to school, then they get spoiled. But a Vaishnav, he's automatically a guru. He's automatically the teacher of everyone because he knows what everyone needs to know and he acts in such a way that everyone else should act. So automatically a Vaishnav, there is no question, is a Vaishnav a guru or not? Is he a guru? Every Vaishnav is a guru. Even if they don't want formally to accept disciples, if they're actually a Vaishnava, living as a Vaishnava, acting as a Vaishnava, accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically they're a guru. and they may formally accept disciples to train them also to understand Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. Krishna is the person we should offer respect to because he is the guru of the whole universe. Sometimes it's said that the guru is greater than God. And in one sense, that may be correct because we can't reach Krishna without a guru. God may seem far away to us, but the guru is very close. But we should know that in one sense that's true. In an absolute sense, it's not true. In the absolute sense, the guru must be the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So both things are there. Jodopi amar guru chaitanya radas tatapi janeo taha chaitanya prakash. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is explained, that even though that I know that my guru is a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the same time I understand he's a manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both things are there. By being a servant, one, for the disciple, then that he attains the status of being as good as God. But because he's a servant, because he accepts the position of servitude. So these subtle understandings are very important. Otherwise, to understand it clearly, otherwise it's very common in India, people think the guru is God and then you don't need anything else. Just guru, that's it. You don't need Bhagavan at all. But a guru will never teach like that. Say, no, the prayojan. Yesterday we were talking about prayojan. Prayojan is Krishna Prema. Guru directs us towards Krishna. At the same time, the disciple has to see Guru just like God. That's enjoined. Acharyang, by who? By Krishna. Acharyang maam vijaniyan navamanyeta karichit. Namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva maya. Krishna says, one should know very well that the acharya is me and not disrespect him in any way. One should not think him an ordinary mortal because all the gods and godly qualities are present in the personage of the Guru. So Krishna manifests himself in various ways as the he is present as the holy name, as deity form, as his prasadam, and as the Guru is also one of the forms of Krishna. So Guru is to be understood in this way. And if one does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if one does so with even a tinge of Mayavad, if one brings in, if there's a touch of Mayavad, then one is disqualified from being Guru. Then he's not as good as God. So all these things have to be understood very nicely. So should I speak one more name? You all ready? Okay. So the next name is Dhamma. This is also a well-known word, the meaning of which is also well-known. Dham means residence, abode. That's the common meaning, especially of the Supreme Lord. We can also say, well, we don't usually say that, where do you live? I live in my dham, in the Shiva pit in Salem. Theoretically, you could say that. But, I mean, in terms of Sanskrit language, you could say that. It's not, you could also say in my mandir. Does mandir also, one meaning is just a building? Or, so you could also say that. But dhamma, that specifically refers to the supreme abode, the abode of the Supreme Lord. So we say Vrindavan Dham. We don't say Salem Dham. Even though the Supreme Lord has kindly consented to come here in the form of deity form, the form of the holy name, the preaching of Krishna consciousness, the form of his devotees. But it's not Dham in the same way that Vrindavan is the Dham of the Supreme. That is the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. Which, even when the whole universe is destroyed at the time of Pralayam, the Vrindavan Dham will not be destroyed. That doesn't mean that Loy Bazaar will still be there. That will go. That should be destroyed right now. That would be a good idea. And restore Seva Kunj. And now we see Seva Kunj, a little walled area. But actually, that walled area was there to stop more encroachment. Otherwise, shops and all these buildings. But actually, it's a much bigger area than what we see now. So Vrindavan Dham is Dwaraka Dham, Navadvip Dham. These are Krishna in the form of his own abode. So, the abode, residence, actually this name already came up previously as Trikakud Dhamma. But anyway, that was some, so we can discuss again. No harm. So, in reference to Matsya Avatara, home, you can say home, dham means home. So it's a place of shelter. The idea that after you're out in the world and you're mixing with people and there's so many difficult situations and so many difficult people you have to meet, and when you come home, it's supposed to be, then there's a shelter from all of that. The idea is in Vedic culture that the wife should be very nicely dressed when the husband comes home and greet him very nicely so he feels some shelter, relief from the difficult situation outside. Nowadays people don't follow that, so the home is not a shelter. Then the men won't come home, they'll stay outside drinking with their friends. Take shelter of intoxication. So, the wife is also known in English as homemaker. So they have to, that's their dharma, to provide some shelter, to make a situation where the man can come. He's giving shelter, but he also needs shelter. Those who are giving shelter, they also need shelter. Krishna is the ultimate shelter. The Matsya Avatar, he's known as Dhamma because he gave shelter to Satyavrata Muni and to all the different species of life. Also, if we take the first name here, Guru, Gurutama, best of all gurus. They're the topmost people, and he's the guru of them. But in the truest sense, Guru Dhamma is Krishna. So also guru can be called dham. Because one goes to the guru to get shelter from the nasty situation of the material world. But one shouldn't go to the guru for shelter to get with the idea, just like people, they're in the city, they're struggling all week, and then they go to the countryside to get a little rest at the weekend, and then they come back to the city again. Not the one shouldn't go to the guru thinking that now I'm so much distressed, so let me get some relief, and then when I get some relief I'll come back again and get on with the business of enjoying life. Then one should not approach guru like that. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. One should approach the guru for inquiring about the topmost benefit. Not that you will go to the guru and get some material benefit. Then there's no shelter. The guru will teach us that there is no shelter in the material world. So in this way, the guru is the shelter. We shelter at the lotus feet of guru means that we take shelter, not just some blessing, so you can become free of. I don't think that guru is some incarnation of Ganapati who gives you blessing and removes all the obstacles for your material enjoyment. But he gives you relief from all material enjoyment. That is the, not from the obstacles in the path of material enjoyment, but gives you relief from even the very idea that there can be any material enjoyment. You go to Guru and say, I'm trying to enjoy this material world, but I'm having so many obstacles. Please help me to get out of this. And Guru will say, okay, I bless you that this enemy will die and you'll win the lottery. And then, no, the Guru will bless you. Oh, so you're, okay, here's how to get free from all the distresses that you're finding in your attempt to have material enjoyment. Just understand there's no such thing as material enjoyment. You have to surrender to Krishna. So that is a qualified disciple. Such a person can enter the dham. Krishna is the dham. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Krishna as the supreme abode. Abode of what? Abode of all good qualities. He's also the abode of all bad qualities. But all good, all bad qualities are good in Krishna. Krishna is the supreme thief, the supreme cheat, the supreme liar, the supreme lecher. Lecher means lumpat. But all, there's no such thing as bad qualities in Krishna. But it is seen as bad by the demons. And for the demons, there cannot be any person worse than Krishna. So even if you take him as bad, still you cannot deny that he's supreme. So he's the supreme residence for everyone. Everyone is in Krishna. We cannot be outside of Krishna. You think, I don't have anything to do with Krishna. I'm going away from Krishna. But ultimately we can't go away from Krishna. We cannot be separate from Krishna. We can only be separate from Krishna in our imagination. So we're always within Krishna. This whole material universe rests in Krishna. We're resting in his energy. And just like in a home, you get food, everything comes, that all comes from Krishna, provides everything. Krishna is the supreme father and mother. He gives food, even to the bad children. We're all bad children in this material world. He gives us food, everything. So, the dharma can also mean ultimate, the goal. So Krishna is the ultimate goal. Everyone goes to Krishna ultimately. The materialists, they go to Krishna. They, at the time of pralayam, they merge into the body of Mahavishnu. The impersonalists, they merge into the impersonal Brahman, which is also Krishna. And the devotees, they live with Krishna directly in the supreme abode. So no one can be away from Krishna. And the thoughts of the devotees, they always reside in Krishna. Madchitta, madgata, madgata prana. So the thoughts of the devotees, their devotees are already residing in Krishna by always thinking of Krishna. And Krishna is their shelter. They live in Krishna. Devotee lives in Krishna. Everyone in this world lives in Maya, with so many thoughts of what to do, how to do, go here, go there, do this, do that, get this, get that. But the thoughts of a devotee simply reside in Krishna. So the devotee lives in Krishna. Krishna is the residence of a devotee. So, dhamma can also mean the supreme light. This has been discussed with various names in Vishnu Sahasranama. Deepam, then Prabha, different names are there. So that also means the supreme light. I'll already discuss this in different ways, how Krishna is the supreme light. So yeah, Krishna is the dham, he's the abode of everything. For the karmis, they're interested in karma, he is the abode of all karma. For the jnanis, they're interested in impersonal knowledge, that also everything rests in Krishna. So, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi, that's a name that's coming up now, at the end of this verse, last name in this verse, udaradhi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. One who's more intelligent than the average. If they want their desires fulfilled, they should think, oh, Krishna. He can fulfill all of it. He's the abode of all karma. Everything rests in him. He gives the results of all karmas, good or bad. So if one wants to merge into the impersonal Brahman, one should think that that is also coming from Krishna. So if one takes shelter of Krishna, all desires can be fulfilled. Of course, we don't recommend being a karmi or a jnani, but we should take the greatest gift that Krishna has to give, which is unmotivated devotional service at his lotus feet. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there unless there are any questions. Yes, please.
The question is, in our Sampradaya, we see some Matajis who are acting as Guru.
In our Sampradaya, we see some Matajis acting as Guru. What is Prabhupada's vision of this? Well, when he was asked, he said that women can become guru. But he said in, what was exactly the word he used? Exceptional, that's the word, in exceptional cases. Generally not. It's a big discussion because it's just like women can't be sannyasis because their social role is to be sheltered. Whereas a sannyasi's social role is to be independent. So it's the role of a sannyasi and the social role of a woman and the social role of a sannyasi, they don't coincide. So spiritually, a woman may be fully qualified. But because the social role demands that she has a sheltered, subordinate role, so generally women don't officially take the role of guru. In exceptional cases. There are exceptional cases. You know, something like Janava Mata. Hemlata Thakurani, the daughter of Srinivas Acharya, and the Gangamata Goswamini. But she was extremely austere. And also, we may note that they didn't go out preaching, right? You see, they didn't go and mix with the public, but those already devotees, they'd move in those circles. So they didn't execute the function of guru in that full sense. There are also various lines, just like that coming from Advaita Acharya or from Nityananda Vamsa, Advaita Vamsa, in which there some names of women gurus are given, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't give much importance to these family lines. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai, Sri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai, Hare Krishna.